This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth, where once again, this is your oasis in the desert out there. If it seems like money is hard to come by, if it seems like feeling good and joyful and everything in your life feels hard to come by, this is the oasis. This is about your inside wealth, about a joy for living, because for all of the craziness out there, and we all know there's plenty of it, it is such a huge gift just to be alive. And yeah, we've been focusing on the money, don't you know? You've been spending a lot of your time focusing on money this week, have you not? And that is part of our lives' existence, that money does seem to be our lifeblood in many ways. How can we create money in ways that really bring out the best of who we are as human beings? So along that line today, we've got a great show. Right on point. We got Brent Kessel, CFP. Certified Financial Planner. Worth Magazine named Brent one of the top 250 financial advisors in the country. He's got a company called Abacus Wealth Partners. And he wrote a book called It's Not About the Money, Unlocking Your Money Type to Achieve Spiritual and Financial Abundance. Yeah, he's a brother of ours. We also have with us Hal Adler, president of a Great Place to Work Institute. You know, that's the group that puts out their findings in Fortune magazine every year, the 100 Great Places to Work. Well, he's joining us for our winning business segment, where he's going to give us a little more insight into what some of these great companies to work for are doing to truly create a winning business, because nobody has to lose. But before you get to Brent and Hal, you got this week's condensed, focused Memorial Day special, Bowl of Stew. Let's focus on Memorial Day. And what does it have to do with wealth? Are you asking? I'll tell you. Because we all know that our financial wealth is really predominantly in the context of us living in this great country we call America, which is and has been the most financially prosperous country in the world for a while now, at least during our generation. And it has been, let's face it, if any of us were born in the middle of Africa, maybe South America, or even parts of Europe or Asia, wherever else in the world it could be, just maybe or highly likely, we would not have as much financial wherewithal as we have in this moment. So we can give it up for the United States a little bit, yay. And also for the men and women who served our country to defend it to the best of their ability in all these prior wars, for a way of life, for a promise and a premise of a life of liberty, of freedom, of democracy, of dreams and opportunities being realized. That is what all these people gave their lives for. And for that, I think we could all say a profound thank you. Now, that said, there's a lot of question out there, especially in this election campaign that we're in, about what exactly is patriotic. And I'm wondering, I take a look at a guy, and you look at the business section, Carl Icahn, okay? The old corporate raider from the 80s. You know, he's resurfacing with Yahoo, taking a position in Yahoo and rattling their chain to kind of force them to be sold to Microsoft. Now, we all know and can expect that the fruit of that labor will result in many jobs at Yahoo being lost. So, for all of us who have money invested in Yahoo, or who bought Yahoo with the arbitrageurs and everything else, because, you know, we're looking to make things more efficient, and it's the American way to capitalize on all financial opportunities, that is the American way. But I got a question for you. Is it patriotic? Is it patriotic, especially in this time of highly economic uncertainty, okay, where we have a credit crunch going on there. And I'm not sure if any of you applied for loans recently, whether it's a second on the house or anything else, even though our Paulson, the Secretary of Treasury, Bernanke, is telling us that they see that the credit crunch is abating. It's not true. When you actually apply for a loan, try it, you'll find out. It's not true. Loan requirements are tightening. Not to create panic, but that's the truth of it. But taking a look at ICON, for example, is just one example of what is considered the American way of maximizing profit at all or any cost. Is that patriotic? Is it patriotic in the context of we know that if he gets his way, he'll make some bucks and a lot of jobs will be lost? Is that patriotic to our country? Is that really what our country stands for? And I know we can go back to the American way, way back when. It really was founded on a premise of a nation, of what's in it for us, not what's in it for me. And we seem to be at a crossroads here because business as usual for quite some time has been what's in it for me. What's in it for me? The oil companies, what's in it for me? They haven't diversified, and rightfully so in their own minds. What's in it for me, as opposed to what's in the best interest of our country? This is about Memorial Day, and I'm inviting you to remember the truth of who you are at the core, beyond all the labels. To live your life from that place, and remember that we are all in this together. And as Ben Franklin once said, we must hang together, or we will surely hang separately. Joining us in studio today is Brent Kessel, CFP. That's a certified financial planner. Worth magazine named Brent one of the top 250 financial advisors in the country. And the company he co-founded, Abacus Wealth Partners, was named one of the top 250 as well wealth management firms by Wealth Manager magazine. So clearly, he's got one foot clearly on the financial ground, very clearly. He also wrote a great book called It's Not About the Money. Unlock Your Money Type to Achieve Spiritual and Financial Abundance. And with Ken Blanchard's commentary on the front cover and him having talked, Brent having talked with people like His Holiness the Dalai Lama, to gather his information for this book. It's truly remarkable, and I highly recommend you read it. So first of all, Brent, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Stu. It's a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure as well. And so let's get right into your book and roll up the sleeves a little bit. The title, It's Not About the Money. That kind of defies conventional wisdom.
Yeah,
it does. It's about show me the money, and even if people aren't talking about it, they're kind of living their life with the golden calf ruling.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the reasons I named the book It's Not About the Money, Stu, is that in my working life, I have clients who have hundreds of millions of dollars of net worth, and I have other clients who have $100,000 of debt. And I found that regardless of the external circumstances, everybody struggles with money.
So why do you think that is? If we can go right to the core, because, you know, it seems to be conventional wisdom. Well, that's the way it is.
Yep.
We're just all focused on a material net worth, and it's a jonesing thing, right? We've got to feel better about ourselves by having a little bit more than the person down the block.
Right. You know, that's a great question. That's exactly the question I started to ask myself as I went from yoga mat to computer and from weekend retreat, meditation retreat, to financial planning conference, because I've spent 20 years doing intensive yoga and meditation practices and 20 years advising people about money. And, you know, what I noticed was that these Eastern traditions, these wisdom traditions, and by Eastern, I also include Christianity and Judaism in that, they all study human suffering. They look for why is it that people struggle? Why is it that people can't break out of patterns that they're stuck in? And yet in the financial world, all of the answers to our struggles were external to us. It's invest this way. It's cut your spending so that you save more. It's get this insurance policy, not that one. It's tell your spouse to do X or not to do Y. It's all outside of the self. And, you know, I really wanted to look at what is it inside us that's creating the suffering. And as one answer to your question, you know, why is it that the amount of money doesn't make a difference? The answer, it's kind of best told by John D. Rockefeller, who, when a reporter said to him, how much is enough? He answered, just a little bit more. And that speaks to this part of us that the Buddhists call the wanting mind that can really never have enough.
So How do we break out of that mold, given the fact that it does seem like our entire financial structure, let alone our own personal lives and how we define ourselves, are based upon that incremental acquisition?
Yeah. I think that the key, as with yoga, with meditation, is to look inward instead of outward. I'll just share, because it's a good moment to, when I asked the Dalai Lama, you know, why is it that Americans, rich and poor alike, struggle so much with money, and what can they do about it? His answer was, don't look outside yourself. That's nonsense. Look inward. And when we look inward, really study why we're behaving the way we are with money, we see this wanting mind that can never have enough. But more specifically, what we see is that when we get something we want, that wanting stops. For a short amount of time, we're not craving anything more. So you may have just bought the new pair of jeans, you may have just gone on the weekend escape, and you're kind of, it's a relief, it's a huge relief to not be fighting with life and trying to get it to be different than it is, which is what most wanting is.
Mm.
And so with that relief, there's a mistake that the mind makes. The mind says, oh, it's the pair of jeans or it's the weekend getaway. So next time I'm struggling, I want that again. But what you really want is the absence of wanting.
Or grasping, as the case may be.
Absolutely.
Yes. You know what's really interesting? When we're talking about now Eastern versus Western philosophy here, where it looks like our economic system and our global capitalist system is based largely upon Western civilization,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to Eastern,
mm-hmm.
That a lot of our Western civilization is based on this notion called in the beginning, you know, God created man, mm-hmm. woman was a second fiddle,
mm-hmm.
you know, a spare rib, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And then next thing you know, she eats an apple that we're not supposed to eat,
mm-hmm.
and gives it to man. All of a sudden, we're covering up. We're running around naked, having a great time,
mm-hmm.
not grasping for anything, frankly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, we realize that whatever we call God or the creator is up there.
Mm-hmm.
We're down here,
mm-hmm.
and we're ashamed of that. And the best we could possibly hope for is perhaps a little bit of power and a little bit of financial gain,
mm-hmm.
because that inner wealth that we're talking about here, when we really do have a sense of oneness and with the moment,
yeah,
which is kind of how you're describing that lack of wanting,
yeah.
and lack of grasping.
Yep.
It's not part of the Western mythology.
It hasn't been, but you know, the Western mythology isn't working out. I mean, most people, if they're really honest, and most people aren't honest, because it's very shameful, really, to admit your struggles with money in an open, public way. But if you're honest, people realize that this isn't working. I'm not happier now that I've gotten these things that I wanted or craved or grasped for than I was before I got them. I may have had some impermanent happiness or relief, but then my craving came back. So I need something different. And frankly, the answer is that God is here right now. I mean, all of that freedom, that paradise you just alluded to, is available right here, right now. And that's really what many of these more mystical wisdom traditions speak to and teach us how to do. There's over 50 exercises in the book that really help people, you know, bring that experience of freedom and transformation into their daily lives right here.
We're here with Brent Kessel, who, believe it or not, is a certified financial planner and a highly well-respected one. Not that I'm saying that you would doubt that, but it's just that clearly we are talking about a wealth that goes far beyond money.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we can actually have abundance in all kinds. As opposed to just settling for that next material object, which, as you pointed out, has this diminishing returns kind of quality to it where it's never going to be enough.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, when we realize that the craving, the endless cycle hasn't worked, we become motivated to allow these grasping, craving impulses to arise and then fall away. You know, Thich Nhat Hanh, who's a Zen Buddhist monk who Martin Luther King nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1967, I went and spent a week with him in France at his meditation center. And he said to me, freedom isn't a matter of the future. It's a matter of the present moment. And that's totally antithetical to everything we hear in the CFP world, in the financial press. It's all about where are you heading, you know, this golden age of retirement or the day when you get your portfolio up to X amount of dollars.
Right. I can be happy when,
yep.
or happy if,
yep.
as opposed to being here now with it.
One of the exercises in It's Not About the Money is if only. I have people write out, what's your if only? If only I had blank, then I'd be happy. If only this, then what? And when you get explicit about that stuff, see, That's the other mistake people make, is they sort of berate themselves for this. Like, I can't believe I act this way with money, or I can't believe I still want more, even though I've already got enough. And it's like pummeling a four-year-old child and expecting to change their behavior that way, because this place inside us, whether it's the wanting mind or what I call our unconscious core story, these eight money types that I've defined in relationship to money, it operates at a very primitive level. It's very young. It was formed a long time ago. And you've got to engage it with compassion and invitation.
We're here with Brent Kessel. We're going to go deeper into what you can do to have the kind of wealth that money can't buy, and then have a new relationship with it so you can have it all, right here on Inside Wealth. We'll have more Inside Wealth right here on Talk Radio 910 AM, KNEW, San Francisco.